Well, a natural transition now would, of course, be prostitution and immorality in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7 is where we're at. You know, it's interesting because I was talking with my wife about this message, and there really is an amazing connection for us this morning. You know, the very last verse of this passage, it talks about marriage and how marriage is a gift from God. And then this morning we celebrated two people coming together as one flesh. And you know what this morning God's going to tell us about? He's going to say that when we get married to Jesus Christ, that we become one spirit with Him. And so it is pretty awesome. Check it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7. You know, first it begins with what it seems to be a popular Corinthian slogan. All things are lawful for me, or all things are permissible for me. This is something that the Corinthians were saying. It seems to be a popular Greek slogan. And so Paul takes it and he uses it. He's not negating it, but he is using it and then adding on to it. And so the Corinthians, they relate to it. And then they say, but wait, he's changed it a little bit here. What's he doing? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. What he's saying is, have you ever noticed that you can go out and commit heinous sins and God doesn't strike you dead? Have you ever noticed that you sin every day and God refuses to punish because he punished Jesus in our place? And there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Sin deserves death. It's called the law of sin and death. Now, if you're under the law of sin and death, then every one of your sins deserves death. And that's why Jesus said, he who does not believe in me stands judged already. Because he's not believed, and so he's under the law of sin and death. You know, the good analogy, of course, is the law of gravity. You throw up an apple and it comes down. You jump up in the air and eventually you're going to hit planet Earth. This is the law of gravity. But you get in an airplane and there's another law there that appears to be superseding the first law. And so the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from that first law, the law of sin and death. So we're not getting what we deserve. Christian karma is out. There is no Christian karma. The cross destroyed the karma. The karma fell on Jesus. The retribution, the deserved punishment, the what's God going to do to me fell on Jesus. And so now Paul says, you know, I mean, it's the truth that, you know, you're free here. What does he say in another passage? But don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Instead, serve one another in love. So I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. But, you know, be wise. Be wise in your time on this planet, making the most of it. Do what's fitting for saints. So he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Do you see what he's doing? The Corinthians, they're a bit chaotic. I mean, they're running around with their liberation movements and with their freedom in Christ movements to the point of immorality. They have heinous celebrations of the Lord's Supper. There's all kinds of horrible acts going on in the church in Corinth, things that are not even named among most people, even lost people in that day. And so they're saying, oh, but all things are lawful, all things are lawful. And they're using that as an excuse. And so Paul comes along and he says, but wait a minute. Remember now, you're a slave of whoever you obey. You're a slave of whoever you obey. So do you want to act like a slave to sin when you're actually free from sin's power? I won't be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now, you can look at this through a lens of hellfire and brimstone and preaching against immorality. And if you do, I believe you've missed Paul's point. Paul's point is Christ lives in you. Christ lives in your body. You are not your own. You belong to Him. And so because He indwells you and owns the very body that you have been calling yours, then you've missed it because you are not just yours. You're His. And with that comes value and worth. And then you don't have to go sell yourself to the world to find value and worth because you've been bought with a price. And it was the greatest price imaginable. And so you put Jesus on one side, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and you hang it on one of those old-timey scales. You know, the tray, the metal tray with the chains on it. And that's on one side. And then there's another side over here, and that's you. And what it's saying is, you are worth Jesus to God. You are worth that much. You were bought with that much. That's how much you're worth. And so, the body is not for immorality, it's for the Lord, and the Lord is for your body. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. Again, talking about the body, it too will be raised, a new heavenly body. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? It's interesting how we don't talk about this very much. What we do say is, we are members of the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. But this is going one step further. And I hope you can see it. The matter, the physical matter that you call your body, it says your bodies are members of Christ. And so sometimes in the scriptures, God actually singles out sins of the body because he's saying, you're taking my instrument and you're abusing it. I mean, it's my instrument. I bought it. I purchased it with blood. And I want to live through you. And I want to use your body as a tool. And you'll only be fulfilled anyway when your eyes and your mouth and your hands are motivated and animated by me. Because you're made for that now. You're made for me. But, you know, you don't always do that. So he's emphasizing here, your bodies are members of Christ. Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. Then notice the next verse. Before we get there though, I mean, just think about this. Think about the physical union and think about whether it's this prostitution or whether it's marriage. It doesn't matter for this analogy, but think about the closeness. Now, look at the next verse. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Can you see the problem in our theologies today when we talk about being out of fellowship or, you know, God has abandoned me, or, you know, God didn't leave me, but I left God. All of this stuff. So you can't leave God if you're one spirit with Him. When you supposedly leave God, what you've really left is some folks you're mad at. Or, you know, you've left the institution of church. Or you've left some legalism that made you mad. Or, you know, you want to show God that you've got a free will here, and so you walk away for a time, shaking your fists, and you're just, you know, you're all mad. But if you're in Christ, you're one spirit with Him, and you take Jesus with you. And even, you know, in not speaking about leaving and going somewhere, the point is, do you see how close you are? Do you see how close we are to Jesus Christ? And, you know, I was talking to someone recently, and they said, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, and I guess I just... And this, I mean, this person, honestly, is one of the most loving people that I know. And, you know, generous, loving, kind, great listener, cares about people, knows the scriptures. I mean, he's awesome. Well, he goes, I just feel like there's no fruit in my life. I mean, I feel like, Christianity, I just been trying to, produce fruit in my life or whatever, and I don't see it. And he's saying it not to try to get better. He doesn't really believe he can get better. I mean, he's pretty defeated. He's pretty beaten down. And I said, have you ever thought about that maybe you're living the Christian life when you don't even know it? I mean, like, because I look at you and, what you think is just your personality or something. You think maybe you just got a gracious personality, or you think you just maybe got a forgiving personality or a kind personality or something. Like, you're not giving any credit to the fact that you're one spirit with Jesus Christ here. I mean, it's not that you need to be informed every time. Oh, yeah, now what's happening right now is fruit. Yeah, just wanted you to know, this is me. It's not you at all. This is just me. I'm moving in for this moment. Just letting you know. Okay? So let me get this straight here, because we talk about Christ living in us and Christ living through us, okay? But if you're waiting for some confirmation that, oh, this is Christ, that's not the way to walk. You walk by the Spirit. You don't wait for the Spirit to walk and then you chase after Him. Right? Oh, yeah. I'll follow what He's doing. No, it's one Spirit. It's true that God is the initiator. Absolutely. It's true. It's all His power. We don't have any power. But we are designed to contain Him. And we are more than conquerors through Him. And we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But there's a union there. And that's what this is talking about. So it's all of us and all of Him. People say it's all of Him and none of me. No, it's all of Him and all of us, one Spirit with Him. And so what I'm saying is, people today, popular talk out there is, you gotta pay the price, you gotta count the cost, and then you can be used by God. Well, the price was Jesus. It was paid. The cost was the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have been bought, and we are people of God's own possession, and we are one Spirit with Him, and there's no more cost to try to pay for or do in order to be used by God. That's not the gospel. The gospel is we are fused to Him at this moment. If you are in Christ, you are one Spirit with Him. You are equipped. We have everything we need for life and godliness, and there's no amount of paying some more price in order to be used. See, what that is it's a subtle teaching that says it's great what Jesus did. Now, if you just do this little thing, then you can finally be used. You see? And that's a lie of the enemy. The price has been paid, and we have been bought. And even our body belongs to Him. So you get the big picture here? What belongs to Him? My spirit, my soul, and my body. So which part of me is not okay with Him? No part. Sin is not okay. The flesh is not okay. But you, body, soul, and spirit, belong to the Lord, and He is well pleased to have you. So you see what the enemy does is he creeps in and he says, yeah, but. And some of you might be thinking that right now. Yeah, but. Have you had a yeah, but thought? See, that's the way of the enemy. Oh, yeah, the price is paid. Yeah, but. Oh, yeah, body, soul, and spirit. Yeah, but. And see, what that yeah, but is designed to do is to get you to do something in order to try to qualify. He has qualified you. What does the scripture say? He has qualified us as ministers of the new covenant. You know who the us is talking to? The church. You know how many ministers there are in here? Hundreds of ministers in here. Qualified by God Himself. It doesn't just say qualified for heaven, man. Do you see this? You're selling yourself short. Not just qualified for heaven. Not just qualified for heaven and some growth in the meantime. But He actually gives us a place of honor and respect. And He qualifies us to reach out to other people with His message. He's saying, you're okay with me. Now let's go see if we can have some other people become okay with me. But then we sit here and we say, well, wait a minute, I'm not sure if I am okay with you because of this and this and this and this. Once I get this figured out, then I'll be okay with you, and then, you know, you'll like me again. And then we've missed it. He's qualified us. One Spirit with Him. All of Him, all of us in union. Therefore, he says, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. So it's like you're doing damage to yourself. You're hurting yourself in this deal. Every other sin is out there, and this, you're actually committing it against yourself. It's like beating yourself up. You don't see that very often, a guy flailing on the ground, just beating himself up. That's the picture we get here. Sinning against your own body. You know, our American flag. Nobody likes it. Imagine if I were to bring in an American flag and wave it around for a little bit and then throw it on the ground and then just, you know, dance around on top of it and all that, trample it underfoot. Nobody likes that, right? Anybody like that? Yeah. Okay, why not? Man, that is a symbol of honor, respect. It's a symbol of our nation. It deserves the utmost importance and respect. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So don't be trampling all over it, disrespecting it. See, it's not just a bunch of verses telling you what to do and what not to do. What I love about this is there's a grand reason, a why, staring us in the face. And that is, do you know who you are? Do you know who you contain? Do you know who this belongs to? Do you know who lives in here? Therefore, you know, Christ lives in you. You are not your own. The Holy Spirit whom you have from God, and you're not your own. For you have been bought with a price. You see the therefore? We always ask, what is the therefore, right? What is the therefore? It says, glorify your God, glorify God in your body. Why? Because you've been purchased, you've been bought. He owns you. And it's a good thing to be owned by a God who is love. It is a whole lot better than being owned by the prince of this world. You remember that new car smell? You know, some of you bought a new car, or you bought a used car, but the guy right before you bought it, he sprayed that new car smell. Right? You know, you get in there for the first time, and doesn't it smell good? You know what I mean? Like, it's been, at least, you know, for my family, when we get something, whether it's new or used, you know, I just think to myself, compared with my other car, you know, at least this thing's been vacuumed. And then, you know, I go 3, 4, 5 years or whatever, and then I get a car that's been vacuumed again. But, you know, the first week you own that, the first week for some of you, I mean, I last about 4 days, I think, treating that car right. But some of you go a week, you know. Some of you go a month. Maybe some of you go 6 months. You're just real careful. You're making sure, you know, you don't park too close. You don't want a door ding or something like that. You just got this thing, right? So you're careful because it's been bought with a price and it was expensive and you own it. And see, I mean, that's the picture here for us, that we've been bought with a price. It was expensive. God owns us. So, you know, that new car smell, what does it say? We have become the fragrant aroma of Christ. To those who are living, you know, a pleasing aroma. And to those who are perishing, a smell of death. Because of an awareness. I don't have Christ yet. I need Christ. But do you see it, the aroma of Christ? I mean, he's saying, you're important. That's what this is. You're important. Now, concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Did you know Paul didn't say this? It's in quotes, man. They were saying it. They were saying it, and they were asking Paul about it. And so Paul is saying, you're telling people nobody can touch a woman, and I'm telling you, because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. In other words, we're not looking for martyr attitudes here, priests off in a booth, you know, by themselves, a, you know, building with walls around it, just secluded from society, no needs, no human. We're not saying that. Each man is to have his own wife. Each woman is to have her own husband. Then Paul, in another letter, he preaches against people who forbid marriage. And you know, I mean, you know what the Catholic Church has done? Yeah, I'm just going to say it. I mean, they said, you know, you're not qualified to minister if you get married. So what are they saying? Oh yeah, you've been bought with a price, the work of the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection, but if you get married, you're unqualified as a minister of the new covenant, when it says he has qualified us as ministers of the new covenant. It doesn't matter what the yeah, but is. The enemy is good at it. And for them, it's, yeah, but you can't get married. And so then what happens? Oh, you know the news stories. The law kills, doesn't it? The law excites sin, doesn't it? The enemy is a master at that. The only answer is, he has qualified us, and it's over, it's finished, I'm qualified, thank you, and wow. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. There was a pastor in Dallas, I think he recommended to his congregation, you know, like, make sure that you're being intimate as a couple every day for 6 weeks, and it'll change your marriage. And everybody went, the guys were like, I'm definitely coming back to this church. Yeah. So I'm going to say 7 weeks. Yeah, just one up it. One up it, you know what I'm saying? Now, but look at this, though. There's the husband and the wife. It says the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise. So it looks like there's actually a couple in this deal. You know, it's not one way, it's two ways. Everybody seems to be having fun here. That's the way it's supposed to be, you know? The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. There's no inequality. There is pleasure, and there's ownership on both sides. And sex is in the Bible. Sex is totally God-given. Sex is beautiful. In fact, didn't we just see something about sex? That even sex, not just marriage, but sex is a picture. And what's he trying to say here, man? I'm close to you. I'm close to you. And I love you. You're not your own. Stop depriving one another. Praise Jesus, right, man? Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. My recommendation, a very, very short time. And come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But this I say by way of concession, not of command. Okay? So you don't have to take a break at all. Whew. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. Well, Paul, we don't. However, each man, here it comes, each man has his own gift from God. One in this manner and another in that. So marriage is a gift from God. So what do we see today? Well, first, we saw a wedding. And it was glorious. And in that wedding, we saw a picture. Husband and wife joining together. And then we saw what that picture is all about. The Lord's Supper. Our husband, we as the bride, and his commitment to us, even beyond death. Wow. What do you say to all that? He has qualified us thank you, and wow. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for purchasing us, that we are not our own, that we belong to you. But just as in marriage, that our bodies even belong to the husband. That we are the bride, that we're a people of your own possession, that you indwell us and that you've given us a place of honor and respect and worth. And then you just want to protect us. Protect us from foolishness. And so you show us how to walk by your Spirit. Father, we thank you for this marriage today. We thank you for Ian, for Brianne. We thank you for their love for each other. We thank you for your love for us. It's an honor to be your bride. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning you got to see Ian and Brianne be joined together. Did you notice a few things? I mean, there were grins and smiles and holding hands, and there was all kinds of love. These people, I mean, they're in love with each other. Now, you had a wedding, and you were the bride, Jesus Christ the groom. Do you know how he's looking at you? Do you know how in love he is with you? Are you still in the delusion that you're not lovable to him? He doesn't join himself to dirty, rotten sinners. He makes you new and clean and right, and then he showers you with his love because you're his bride. And he wanted to own you. He wanted to live in you. He wanted you to be his. And so he made you right, and you're okay. And he's holding your hand, and he's looking at you, and he loves you. Do you see how he's looking at you? Come join us for a meal together. Have a great day.